One of my favorite things about church is how it connects us across generations. And right there, you just heard an audio example of that as our current wonderful organist, Debbie Shaliga, was playing a duet with one of our former organists, Craig Scott Simmons. It is such a joy to have him. He had 15 years here, and he may live in Connecticut now, but he's still part of the Royal Oak First family, and that is something that we offer here. So as we enter into worship, I invite you to rise and hear the choral introit and join us in our first hymn.
Let us join in the call to worship, in the prayers and the praise, in the words and the wonder. We are given enough joy to live each day. In the justice for the oppressed, in the unexpected generosity for the lost, we are given enough compassion to use in service every day. In the promises made to all, in the mercy offered to each, we are given enough grace to share each day. All are welcome here. Thanks be to God.
In the spirit of that breath of life, I invite you to turn to your neighbors and greet them this morning. See if you can learn a new name. There is a sweet spirit in here this morning. Oh man. There's so much happening. As we move into some of the mission things that are happening this week, there's more than we can talk about right now, so there's plenty printed in your bulletin. And if you need any extra information beyond there, there's always someone to talk to, one of our staff, or call during the week. But for now, I want to highlight three big things. The first is that coming up next Saturday, in a week and almost 2 weeks from here, we're having the Saturday Night Supper Club. And this is our chance to gather and do what we do best, eat. This is a potluck. All the mains are being provided. The entertainment is being provided by the Nahat family. We're so excited for this. Bring a dish to pass around your table, and we'll have a chance to get to know one another. Sunday morning doesn't offer enough time to make some of these friends so that we can have those cross-generational connections. Second thing that's going on is also for all ages and all abilities, and that is our Friday Fun Night Halloween edition. So we've got a number of Friday Fun Nights coming up, but this one is particularly Halloween themed. There's going to be lots of fun, and we're going to have candy, of course, because we can't gather without eating. So it's going to be a blast. And then our final one coming up here is Big Boy Night. You're sensing a theme here. This is good. You know, I was skeptical last year. I'll admit it. You know, I was like, oh, big boy, really? I show up, and it is a party. Oh, man. The place is full. This is at the Big Boy in Madison Heights up on John R. And you come, and there are raffles going on, and families milling around. You've got friends galore that night. It's like walking into Cheers. It's so good. So we hope you'll show up, because every dollar you're spending gives back to our music guild, which means that you are sending kids to choir camp. Is that a good thing? We are changing the world one bite at a time, I tell you. Anyways, I'd like now to invite one of the cool cross-generational things we do, which is Bibles for third graders. So third graders, come on up here with Pastor Myra and Miss Danielle. And we have an eighth grader too, and some others. And then all of our Bible friends and families.
Any family members who want to come? This is a big day in the life of the church. We want to make sure that we include all of you who want to gather around these children. We have Bible friends. We know they have family here. Come on, come on and join us. Do you remember getting your first Bible? I don't remember a Bible Sunday, but how many of us have our first Bibles? There's nothing more special than that first Bible that is your very own, that has your name in it. This is Danielle Moody. You all know her, but for those who might not, she is the director of our children's ministries, children's youth and family. Danielle, kick us off.
So today we celebrate a special event, Bible Sunday. The Bible is special to us because it tells the story of our relationship with God. These stories are important to everyone to learn. As you explore your Bible, we hope that you won't only read about the things that happened a long time ago, but you'll start to see yourselves as God's people in today's world.
Do we want to take a moment now and do the presentation of the Bibles? Introduce us to these. These are our special members in the church.
Chris, this is your Bible buddy, Mark Thatcher. He's excited to meet you and be your Bible buddy. Do I turn around and say hi?
And who is this?
This is Chris.
Hey, Chris. Let's get your Bible. Let's see what this looks like. Deep blue Bible. These are pretty cool. Here's your Bible.
There you go.
And then Shaylin, your Graham, wanted to present you with your Bible today.
Oh, sweet. So.
And Hannah, Miss Carla, is your Bible buddy. And Elena, Miss Colleen, wanted to be your Bible buddy. And Julia, you have Mrs. Miller. And Olivia, this is Miss Teresa. She's super excited to be your Bible buddy. So.
This is pretty exciting. Children, why don't you repeat after me? We are excited.
We are excited.
To begin our adventure. Okay, yeah, we got to start that over. You caught that right. I'm just moving on. All right, let's see some excitement. We are excited.
We are excited.
To begin our adventure.
To begin our adventure.
With our new Bibles.
With our new Bibles.
We will have lots of questions.
We will have lots of questions.
We will need your help.
We will need your help.
And they will. Because we know the Bible is not just a book of history, it is the living book that shows us our relationship to God, that brings us into the kingdom of God. There will be lots of questions. And Bible buddies, you've got lots of responsibility. Your Bible friends will be there to answer questions, to help you along the way. Bible friends, this is your chance to make a connection with some of the children of our church. Families, Bible buddies, and teachers, we've got some questions for you. I'm hoping that the answer is yes. Will you help these children in your homes and classrooms?
Yes.
Will you guide them as they learn?
Yes.
Will you share your own faith story?
Yes.
Will you give them a chance to study together in Sunday school and beyond? And now, church family, you've got some responsibility, too, because there are going to be some times when the Bible friends aren't around, and they're going to see you, and they're going to ask you a question. And can I tell you something? It's okay if you don't know. I have people ask me stuff all the time, and I just don't know. But together, you can seek an answer and allow the Spirit of God to lead you. It's really just about connecting and learning that you can ask whatever you need to know of those around you. Church family, it's wonderful to see these new relationships, but they're not going to do it alone. We have the privilege and the responsibility to share our faith stories and support these children as they learn and grow. Don't be afraid to share your faith story. It's important for every child to hear it on a personal level. How does God speak to you? Will you take a moment and join me in prayer as we bless these children? Heavenly Father, we lift up these children and their new Bibles. Guide them through your word, through all of the stories. Guide them as they search for you and a relationship for you. And guide everyone in this place today to be there, to just be there as these children grow and learn so that we can grow and learn together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You got to do the hand.
They sing, right?
Thank you.
want to come down and join us for just a minute? Come on down. It's our children. Say, yeah, come on down. Come on down. Hey, come on down. Oh, we got a, oh, look at this. What a group we have. Here come my boys. Hey, Carson. Parker. About Bibles, and let's see, does anybody know a Bible verse? What is that you just sang? Let everything that breathes
sing praises to the Lord.
Sing praises to the Lord. Psalm 156, you just learned a Bible verse. And can I tell you something? Singing songs is a great way to learn Bible verses. We're going to look at the Bible for just a second, because those of you who just got your Bibles, I hope you will just wear them out. Just take it with you, look at it. I've got the one that I had when I was your age, and it's got little notes on the side. It's got things. Use it. Use it. Open it often. The Bible is divided, does anybody know, in how many big parts? How many big parts are there? There are two, right. What are they called?
The Old Testament and the New Testament.
The Old Testament and the New Testament. Hey, Carson, do you know what happened in the world that changed it from the Old Testament to the New Testament? Something big happened. What happened? What happened, Rosa? Jesus was born. Everything before Jesus is Old Testament. Everything about Jesus and after Jesus is the New Testament. But what's in the middle of the Bible? Does anybody know? If I go to the middle of the Bible, what is in the middle? The Psalms. The Psalms are right in the middle of the Bible. So I'm going to ask you, those of you who just got your Bible, I want you to go home and sometime today or tonight, open your Bible to the Psalms. I always like Psalm 23. That's just one of my favorite. The Lord is my shepherd. And if you don't, if you haven't gotten your Bible yet, hey, Parker, will you ask your mom, do you think your mom has a Bible? I bet she does. Or you could just come to my house and borrow one. If you don't have one, ask your mom to find a Bible and turn to the Psalm. Be sure to tell her, hey, Mom, Psalms is right in the middle. That's how you find it. And find Psalm 23 and read that tonight. Because the Bible, we said this earlier, but this is true. I want you to remember it. This is not a history book. There's a lot of history in here. But through these pages and through these words, we learn about God. We learn about Jesus and his love. We learn about how to have a relationship with God. We learn that Jesus is our good friend. That's what we have here in the Bible. Listen, this is just such a great group. I know you guys are going to go up and have a great Sunday school class, right? Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Oh, louder, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
We now come to a moment of prayer. All too often we tell God we will do better and be better. Then we just go on living the same old way that we always have. Let this be the moment when we bring to mind our shortcomings and failings so that we can be in the service of grace and hope. Join me as we pray. We want to be fountains of hope for others, but sometimes our hearts are hardened. We desire to be transformed people, but sometimes we are too stubborn to bend a knee in prayer. We hope to stand with those who are in need, but we find that at times our judgment of them blocks our mercy. Forgive us, God of grace, humble us, that we might be true servants to the broken and lost. Open our hearts so that we might be compassionate to those who are hurting. Fill our minds with the presence of your Spirit, that we may learn to live in love in the way of Jesus. This is the good news. In Christ, God's plan for salvation has been accomplished. We are forgiven. We are set free to serve. We will participate in God's joy by sharing compassion, forgiveness, and hope. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now let us join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine art the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Come to a time of offering. It's our chance to give back. We see our children up here. How glorious is that? We invest a lot here in our children, and that's a great thing. And then all kinds of programs. I say it, you're probably tired of hearing it. Give like it matters, because it does. you sent your son, not sparing. The gifts that we bring seem small. And then we remember how great thou art. That the God of the universe can bless what we bring and send it out into the world. And we ask that of you now, Heavenly Father. Take these offerings, multiply them, bless them, that we might be a light of love in this world. How great thou art. Amen.
Our scripture reading today comes to us from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 through 10. Jesus responded by speaking again in parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding party for his son. He sent his servants to call on those invited to the wedding party, but they didn't want to come. Again, he sent other servants and said to them, "Tell those who have been invited, 'Look, the meal's prepared. I butchered the oxen and the fattened cattle. Now everything is ready. Come to the wedding party.' But they paid no attention and went away, some to their fields, others to their businesses. The rest of them grabbed his servants, abused them, and killed them. The king was angry. He sent his soldiers to destroy those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding party is prepared, but those who were invited weren't worthy. Therefore, go to the roads on the edge of town and invite everyone you find to the wedding party.' Then those servants went to the roads and gathered everyone they found, both evil and good. The wedding party was full of guests." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Everybody's got a good wedding story, right? Everybody loves a good wedding story. I put it out on Facebook and among friends that I was looking for stories that I was going to preach about weddings. I got inundated with stories. A friend of mine called me Friday afternoon. He said, "Did I miss it? Have you preached yet? I got a great story." The preacher dropped the ring. It rolled under the piano. We all had to stop and get it. Everybody has a story that's a lot of fun. If you Google weddings, you come up with website after website. It's the mishaps that we remember, right? Those become the good wedding stories. Stories like, look at this one. Those long trails and veils and the poor father of the bride who has to step over it. Or how about the cake? I know what those cost. I'd be serving it to you off of my arms. We love the mishaps of the weddings. Do you know there's a website called So You Want Your Dog to Be Part of Your Wedding? True, there is. And this is for you, Jenny Lohman. And that website gives us pictures like this one. Yes, and this one. And these have nothing to do with the sermon, but who could resist a dog in a tuxedo, right? No, we love a good wedding story. We love to laugh. It makes us feel good about ourselves. It makes us feel good about the world. There's just something about a wedding. There's just something. I sat around a dining room table at my house with my daughter Lainey and my future son-in-law, at that time her fiance, Josh, and we talked about their wedding. We're planning the wedding. They had just graduated from Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Texas. Josh played football at SMU. And he said, "You know, before every home game, we pray in the chapel there. I'd really like to be married in the chapel on campus in Dallas. My daughter said, oh, doesn't that sound sweet? And I said, yes, it does. I had no idea what I was signing up to. I mean, a wedding in Dallas, that would be a destination wedding, which is a wedding where nobody is from, where everybody has to travel. So we set out to do this wedding in Dallas, and we go and we book the chapel, and we find a place to have the reception. It's got a great place for music and dancing, and it's got a nice hall to have dinner, but it's limited. We have to stay inside our number. But that's okay. I mean, we're in Detroit. We're inviting people to come to Dallas. We figure maybe 30% of those we ask will actually make the trip. So as the days went on, we sent out the save the date cards. And then we launched the website, all those things you do in today's wedding world. And then we sent out the invitation. And that ever important RSVP card. There it is. You know what it says. Respond if you please, or respond please. And we were surprised because we started getting cards back that were all yeses. My daughter has a close-knit group of friends here from her high school, and they hadn't seen each other for a while. They decided, she's the first to get married. We'll make this like a reunion. We're all going to go. And because they're going, their parents want to come. How fun. Yes, good. And then I got some interesting phone calls. A couple of my friends said, you know, we're going to come. We've never been to Dallas. We're going to come and we're going to make it like a family vacation. And we're going to bring all the kids. They're high school and college. And I said, oh, I'd love to see them. And my daughter's in the background going, no, they're not in our numbers. And then we had the most interesting of all phenomenon. We started getting those response cards back. See that bottom line? Total number of guests attending. We would send it out and invite two or three people, and it would come back with six or seven. You see, Josh is from a very small town, Belleville, Texas, outside of Houston. He'll tell you there are more cows than people in that town, but they are close. They are like family. And when somebody from the family gets married, everybody comes. What that meant, what the six meant is, the three of us are coming and three more are riding with us. So we had this number that was over the limit. So I call the venue and we work it out. We find some extra tables and some extra space and we get some extra food. It's going to be great. You know, it's going to be fine. We have it all worked out. And of course, then the day of the wedding came. And it was beautiful. Recognize that preacher? Let me tell you, nobody does it better than Jeff. And as we went through the wedding, and I was thinking, boy, this is just, everything's just going so well. And I finally made my way over to the reception, and the event planner met me at the door. And she said, you are over. I said, no, I know. We worked this out, right? She said, no, well, you are over that number, way over. So we took a deep breath. What are you going to do, right? I mean, because all those little place cards I had and all those little table settings, those were out the window. It was first come, first served. So we found every table, every chair, every morsel of food in a 2-mile radius and put it on our buffet tables. And it was a little chaotic. I'm not sure I ever got a seat, but that's okay. But everybody got something to eat. And then all of a sudden, the music started playing. And everybody went out into the great hall, and everybody started to dance and have fun and celebrate. And truly, something magical, something mystical, something amazing just took over. Yeah, I stood on a balcony and I looked down to see this. That's actually the groom's father. And there was this great meshing of cultures. Yes, black and white, but more than that, country and city and Motown and Texas, all coming together in celebration. I looked down and there was a friend of mine, and she's one of those women who is always just impeccably dressed. She's just beautiful, and she's got on her designer dress and her matching shoes, and she is on the dance floor just having the time of her life, and she's dancing with Bubba. Now, Bubba is a 6'4" African-American man wearing cowboy boots. I mean, the universes are colliding here. There was also a young man on the dance floor, and I didn't recognize him, but I didn't think anything about it. He just seemed to be in the center of everything. He was dancing with the bride. He was dancing with the bridesmaids. He was dancing with my mother. He was just having the time of his life. He was like the center of everything. And I found out later his name is Kevin. And at one point, my son-in-law said to him, "Hey, Kevin, were you even invited to this wedding?" And Kevin said, "Nah, man, but I sure am having a good time, so thanks for having me." That's what a wedding is all about. You see, when I looked down on that floor, what I saw was loud, it was rowdy, it was sweaty. It was beautiful. It was sacred. And it certainly was mystical. That's a word we use in our wedding liturgy. Have you ever noticed that? In our liturgy, right there in your hymnals, it says, "In holy matrimony, which is an honorable estate, instituted of God and signifying unto us the mystical union that exists between Christ and his church." The wedding's a symbol of Jesus and the church, as in, I'm the church, you are the church. The wedding is a symbol of the relationship between all of us and Jesus. When we say there's something else going on in a wedding, we are not, as we say in the South, just whistling Dixie. There is something mystical, there is something beautiful happening in a wedding. In Matthew, Jesus tells us the wedding story, his wedding story. He's got one too. It's the story of a king who plans a wedding. They don't have RSVP cards. They send their servants out, knock on your door and ask you if you're coming. Nobody was coming. And the king said, "Wait a minute, don't they understand? We've got barbecue brisket. We've got cheese grits. Don't they know that? And it's all ready for them. Go back and tell them that and see what they say." And they do, and they're still not coming. No, they've got life, you know, they've got stuff to do. They've got business. Business comes first. They've got business to do. No, they're not coming. And the king is angry. And he says, "You know what? They're not worthy. So go out to the streets, open the doors, and just invite everybody you can. Just invite everybody who's out there." I love that. Exactly what he says. "Those servants went out into the streets and gathered all who they found, the good and the bad." Love it. Wow. All means all. When Jesus opens the doors, he goes to the streets, and all means all. Now, when you read this story, where do you put yourself? I've been reading this story for a long time. I put myself on the outsiders coming in, right? You know, you crazy Pharisees, you don't get it, we get it. Open that door, let the Gentiles in. We're high-fiving for the Gentiles as we make our way in. We know better, we got this. Wait a minute, just wait a minute. If we were standing there, as Jesus told this story, this parable in the temple, well, first of all, we wouldn't have been allowed in the temple, but had we been outside of the temple on that very day, then yes, we would be the outsiders. But this is 2017. A lot's happened in the last 2017 years. Jesus died, he rose again, the Holy Spirit came, the church launched, the Protestants made their own path, a pathway that would lead us to the United Methodist Church, and here we sit inside the church. People, we are not on the outside. We're on the inside. We're getting the invitations. The invitations are coming to you and to me. I remember the first time Jeff Nelson said that to me. We were studying a scripture, it was many years ago, and he said, "You know, Myra, in this story, we would be the Pharisees." Say, what? In this story, we would be the insiders getting the invitations. And what do we do with those? I got too much going on right now. My job, my business, I got to earn a living. Business comes first. We have to be careful here. I know for me, I kind of hide behind that. Yes, we all miss a church service for work sometimes. We're not talking about that. This is much bigger than that. We're not talking about any one church service. We are talking about the kingdom of God. We are talking about you are invited to the kingdom of God. And if my grown children were here right now, they'd probably stand up and say, "You want to translate that, Mom? What are you talking about? What is the kingdom of God?" And it's okay that we don't understand. That's the point of the parable. Jesus is trying to make it clear to us what the kingdom of God looks like. And he says the kingdom of God is like a wedding. You want to know about God? You want to know what God expects from you? You want to know what kind of God we worship? The kingdom of God is like a wedding. And what is a wedding? It's a celebration. Not just of two people. It's bigger than that. A wedding is a celebration of relationship, a celebration of love, a celebration of family, of community. When Josh Bryant married Lainey Moreland, the Bryant family and the Moreland family grew and got stronger. Weddings make our communities and our families stronger. The kingdom of God is like that. The kingdom of God is love and relationship and connection and family, church family and community. You know, when Luke tells his story, it's not a wedding, it's a banquet. It's people gathered around the table with the doors wide open. I'm thinking maybe it looked a little bit like this. These are our Romeos, retired old men eating out. Or maybe it looked like this. This is our Tuesday night women's Bible study. Or maybe it even looked like this. Public theology. Or maybe it was the women who gathered at the parsonage for Mom's night out, or maybe it's on Thursday mornings when Jeff is here and they're meeting for fellowship. Jeff told me the man came in who hadn't been to church in a long time, but he found his way to fellowship. Amen. That's the kingdom. We were all invited. See, we sent out this kind of invitation, this mass invitation. Oh, we've got one more too, the Saturday Night Supper Club. This one's still coming up. We sent out this invitation for everybody. It was a brochure with all the groups that we have and ways to connect. And I have to tell you, the parties are popping. I mean, it's sort of like looking down on the balcony. The Romeos had so many people, the waitress didn't know what to do. But I want to tell you, if you want to come next Wednesday, they will find a spot for you. On Tuesday night, we're just trying to see who cries first. There's tears of joy, tears of laughter, tears of sadness. And I have to tell you, we have a great time. It's a time of relationship if you want to join us. And the same thing with pub theology. There's one tomorrow night. Always a crowd, always room for one more. I tell you, we're taking it to the streets. We're taking it to the streets because that's what Jesus shows us in this story where he opens the door and he says, "Go out into the streets." That's what we're doing. Now, don't you wish that sometimes you could be like Kevin? Doesn't matter if you get an invitation or not. You just hop in and have a good time. It's not always that easy. At least it's not for me. You know, Facebook is kind of fun. We get to see what our friends are doing. We get to see weddings. We get to see parties. It's fun to watch and see until it's not. A couple of months ago, I saw a friend of mine celebrating her birthday. I thought, well, that's nice. And I looked, and there was a picture of her and a couple of our other friends, and they're out. And I thought, well, that's sweet. And I clicked another picture, and there's a few more friends, and I clicked another picture, and there's a big hall. It's a big party to which I wasn't invited. And it hurt. Now, I have to tell you, these are my friends. I could have gone, and they would say, you know, Myra, we couldn't even get you. You're so busy these days. All of those things are true. I still wanted to be invited. I still needed that someone to reach out and say, come on, we're all getting together. Come be part of that. How many of you here have participated in one of our connecting groups, or you plan to, maybe plan to come to Saturday Night Supper? Raise your hand if you've been a part of one, or you plan to be a part of one. Will you do something for me? Will you do something this week? Will you invite one person to come and join in? Let's take this to the streets. Let's take it to somebody who's maybe looking in saying, I want to do that. Yeah, that looks like I could do that. But they're just looking for that one more push, that one invitation. And if you haven't found a group yet, come find me and let's talk about it. All of these groups are fun. They are a place for you to come and connect and find the kingdom. The kingdom of God is like a wedding. It's like a wedding where the doors are wide open. It's a wedding where Kevin is still dancing. It's a wedding where we can go and have abundant life. All are welcome. I ask you to come and bring a friend. The kingdom of God, all are welcome. kingdom of God is like a wedding. It's like a banquet. Kingdom of God is like a party, and you're invited. Will you come and bring a friend? Amen?
Amen.
Oh, you do. You and Jennifer, oh my goodness.